Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
We're on a mission from God.
Is on the air.
Is on the air.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you be waiting for?
Go, kids, let's go.
Two.
Start the show. Start the show.
One.
You are listening to the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast. Full disclosure, it is not morning time.
No.
You know, it is a Wednesday night.
No. Indeed it
is. And the show got kind of messed up this week because I went out of town for a hockey tournament for my son. So we tried to squeeze in a show midweek. And thank you to Hoss and producer Gary for driving through Snowmageddon to get here.
Well, that we're all hiding from the police currently.
Right.
Stop it. You guys don't think we're going to get in trouble. Don't you think that ship has sailed?
I mean, it got delivered today, right?
Yes.
So,
well,
you know.
See, here's the thing. Is all weekend, I thought it was already delivered. I didn't check the UPS tracking. And I thought, oh, you know, I didn't get arrested all weekend. I'm in the clear. And then I checked the tracking this morning. And I'm like, oh, crap. The poop just got to his house today.
Nice.
So now I'm back in, like, I need to get a spray tan in case I get a mugshot, you know, method mode, whatever you want to call it. And funny enough, you know, if you don't know what we're referring to, it's when we sent Stan Kroenke a whole bunch of poop, $250 worth to be exact. Our biggest show to date, over 10,000 listeners.
That's pretty awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
Very cool.
And so my mother calls me today, who, sweet woman, she is a beautiful shade of crazy. She calls and she's like, Kelly, I have a mysterious package on my front porch with your name on it. I think it's poop. I'm not bringing it in the house. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, somebody sent me poop. And I'm like, I said, just open it and tell me what it is. And she's like, no, because what if it's poop or what if it's a bomb? So somebody sent something to my mom's house.
What are two extremes? It can't be anything else.
No.
It's either crap or an explosive.
No. And I said, well, I said, who is it from? She's like, I don't know. I can't read it. It's too little. I said, take a picture of it with your phone. And so she sends it to me, and it's from a company called, like, Zazzle Inc. And so I Google it, and it's like a company that makes like t-shirts and stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, Mom, just open it. I don't know what it is. Just, oh, she's like, it's one of your crazy listeners, and they're sending you poop, and it's at my house. And so she goes and puts it on the back deck and calls her assistant that works with her, I think, to help her come and open it. And so I finally convinced her to open it, and my sweet Uncle Ricky had two coffee mugs made with my picture on it with the sassy, classy, and a bit smart-assy.
Nice.
And sent them to my mom's address instead of mine because he didn't have mine. And yeah, she thought she had poop on her
front. And neither one of the mugs were filled with crap or explosives.
No. So I want to say thank you to my Uncle Ricky and give him a shout-out because I know that he loves the show. He lives kind of far away, and I don't get to see him near as much as I want to. So I love you, Uncle Ricky.
So my dad was out over the weekend. He has a group of buddies that he has coffee with pretty much every day now that he's retired. And Saturday, he was wearing a St. Louis Rams shirt.
Ooh.
That said St. Louis on it.
Yeah.
And some guy comes up and goes, wow, you got a lot of nerves still wearing that. And he's like, well, you know.
It's still fresh.
So it's, you know, it's a shirt. I'm not going to throw it away.
Right.
He's like, you know, I don't know if you heard or not, but some group of people sent Stan Kroenke some shit. And Dad goes, that was my son.
That was my son. The national media that picked on that up on that was insane. We were in Sports Illustrated. We were in Maxim magazine, Complex magazine. I saw my face on ESPN. I didn't see
it. Oh, nice. Yes, I didn't see that.
Somebody took a screenshot of it.
Cool.
And sent it to me on Instagram. And so, yeah, we absolutely, like, owned the national media last week, which is fantastic. And makes me very, very happy. And ironically, so last week was also the week that we introduced some national sponsors to the show. And so if you've heard the show lately, you may have noticed some new commercials. Obviously, I do my local commercials for Rachel Witt and JM Motors and things like that. But you're going to start hearing some national commercials in the show. And I wanted to talk to my listeners a little bit about that and be super transparent about everything that we do on the show. Because things are going to change just a tiny bit. So I get a phone call about, first I got an email from a talent scout in like New York like a week and a half ago, and I screenshot it and sent it to you guys. I'm like, hey, this lady's like, I'm a talent scout for, you know, Blog Talk Radio, and you know, our executive director wants to schedule a phone interview with you. So I sent it to you guys, and I'm like, hey, this could be something, but it's probably nothing. You know, it's probably a scam or something. And but I was still excited to hear what this guy had to say. And so basically, I might get this wrong, but this company is working as like a national agent for us. And he's like, hey, I love your show and I want to sell it to national companies. And I'm like, well, this is awesome. This is what I've been waiting for. And I'm like, but I'm not giving you any money. And he's like, I don't want your money. And so I said, okay. I said, do you just tell all the podcasters this because you just want to, you know, sign me or whatever? And he's like, no. He said, you want to know who I got off the phone with before I called you? Jim Brewer, the comedian.
And by the way, such a, not to say it's such a cliche thing, but like the whole, do you know who I just got off the phone with?
Right.
Is
right.
One step below, do you know who I am?
Do you know who I am? Well, that's pretty much what I was almost saying to him.
Right.
I'm like, do you know who I am? Because I put up with zero crap. And if you think you're going to take my money, you're wrong. And so I kept quizzing this guy and I said, fine. I said, if you really listened to my show, what is something that you heard? And he like said, plain as day, a fart competition. And I'm like,
there you go.
Yes.
Done.
I'm like, you've listened to my show. And so a couple of small changes that you're going to see is that there's going to be two shows a week now instead of just one, which is awesome.
Hooray!
Everybody's going to love that. And you're going to notice one or two national sponsors thrown in the show. And then instead of being five short segments, it's going to be three long segments.
Yep.
And the most important change that is coming is that SoundCloud is going to have to go bye-bye. And so all of you who listen to SoundCloud, I'm going to encourage that you listen on iTunes.
It's super easy to do that.
It's so easy to do. And I even emailed them today and said, well, what about my Android folks? And they're going to give me an embeddable player right on my blog.
Yep.
So if you have an Android and you don't have easy access to iTunes, all you have to do is go to kellymano.com and hit the play button. It's going to be embedded and ready to go for you. And it's nothing against SoundCloud. They've been great for us. It's just they don't have a way to count those listeners for revenue. It's really kind of boring, like inside radio stuff.
Sure.
But yeah, so from now on, everything's going to be done through iTunes, and that's how we're going to promote the show.
Oh, good. That means I can actually still listen to the show.
You can, yay! Yes. Because
have you noticed, and I picked up on it the other night when I was listening back to one of the shows, that it seems like our show will start, and then about 30 seconds into it, the national commercial hits.
Oh, that was a one-time accident thing, and that you got to blame my husband.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, was it a Joann's Fabric one?
No, it was one of the national. Oh. It was like a damn it, it's a barbecue place.
Oh, you know what? They put in different ones every week.
Okay.
So that was a one-time mistake. There should only be a commercial right next to when I do my live commercial.
Right.
And that's it. So there'll be a live commercial and then a national commercial and then the same thing on the next break.
So fire Jimmy.
Yes, okay. Fire Jimmy, even though I don't pay him for anything. did you guys see, I mean, obviously the big stories this week, number one, everybody's dying.
Everybody's famous. Everybody who's famous is dying.
Right. And I mean, you know, obviously, you know, the guy from the Eagles, you know, that's not my generation. That's not my music.
Yeah, but oh my God.
But gosh, I know their music and I know that the impact that they've had. And
if there's no Glenn Frey, there's no Eagles. If there's no Eagles, there's no country rock.
Right.
Revolution. There's none of that. Like, I'm not even really an Eagles fan, but I grew up in a house where you listen to the Eagles. And
sure.
The footprint that band has on music from the 70s forward to today is undeniable. Miami Vice. Glenn Frey was all over Miami Vice.
Right. Well, just the fact that me, you know, I'm a rap girl. Yep. I love Spice Girls. I love cheesy music. You know, the fact that somebody like me, like their music can transcend time all
absolutely.
The way to somebody like me, I can sing along with at least 10 Eagles songs.
Everyone knows Hotel California.
Of course.
Everyone knows Desperado.
And it's really sad. And, you know, I saw one of my friends on Facebook today kind of complaining that, you know, that she was tired of seeing people claim that they were devastated when, you know, a musician dies because it's a famous person that you don't even know and quit being so dramatic. It doesn't really affect your life. But
oh, it totally does.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's what I told her. I said, I kind of beg to differ because I think that musicians are a voice for us when we don't have one.
Yep.
And sometimes they say things that we can't put into words. And so I think it's absolutely normal to be upset and moved when we lose somebody that's great in the industry.
The three that have really hit me recently, Lemmy, just because I didn't know Lemmy, but I had been around Lemmy quite a bit.
Because you work in the music industry.
Right. And you know, that guy, there will never, ever, ever be another Lemmy Kilmister.
Okay, don't hate me. What band was he in?
Motorhead.
Okay. And then we had David Bowie.
And Weiland.
Oh, Weiland. Like, I completely, like, we've lost so many that I completely forgot about Scott Weiland.
And, you know, Weiland hurt for me, not only because of how important he was, you know, in my formative years of music, but I unfortunately saw him last May at a festival, and I knew it was borrowed time then.
Sure.
But David Bowie, like, are you kidding me?
No. Yeah, and see, I don't know a lot of Bowie music.
But you know Labyrinth. I guarantee you know Labyrinth.
Well, I think that...
The movie Labyrinth? Come on.
Oh, is that a movie? I thought it was a song. No, I don't know the movie Labyrinth.
What?
But I don't watch movies. I can't sit still for 2 hours.
Everybody knows Labyrinth.
I don't know Labyrinth. I have not seen any major movie, like Shawshank Redemption and Gone with the Wind and Saving Private Ryan. Like, every major motion picture that everybody has seen, like Casablanca, I've seen none of them. I've never seen Pulp Fiction.
You've seen Spice World, haven't you?
I've seen Spice World 85 times.
So you would obviously fail that test that everybody puts out on Facebook with... How many of these top 100 movies have you seen?
First of all, I don't do those stupid Facebook tests. They're so gay. And number two, I certainly wouldn't do one about movies because I suck at movies. So anyway, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, this next segment is not for kids. There's going to be a lot of cursing. And so,
I'm really happy you're playing rock music in the background.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. Ask me when we come back from the break, and then I'll tell you why.
All right.
But anyway, yeah, so lots of curse words. It's going to get exciting. We'll be right back. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show.
The Kelly Mano Show. Sassy, classy, and a little smartassy.
Okay, the classy part might be a stretch. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show is proudly brought to you by Rachel Witt with Remax. Are you guys excited to move into our new studio when we get the new house?
Yeah, it's a way shorter drive for me. It's going to be great.
I know, right? What color should we paint the walls? I was thinking like a turquoise or purple.
Purple?
You guys, are you? Because I mean, obviously it's going to be a girly color, but what's like the least girly color?
I mean, I'm cool with whatever.
Okay, it's going to be super girly.
That's fine.
So excited! And helping us move into the new studio/house is Rachel Witt with Remax. Rachel Witt is thebomb.com. We love her. We could not be more happy with our real estate agent. Moving is a lot of work, and there's a lot of crap you got to know. And Rachel knows her stuff inside and out. She handles all of my really stupid questions. She puts up with me when I try to break in houses when she's not around.
Awesome.
You know, she's been putting up with the Manos for nearly a year now, and if she can handle us, she can handle you. Go to her website. It's homesalesinstcharles.com, or you can call Rachel Witt today. Her phone number is 636-720-3836. Please tell her that Kelly Mano sent you so that she knows that her advertising is working. And I want to remind everybody that if you are upside down on your house, if you owe more than it's worth, Rachel can help you. She is helping us with that same thing. So give Rachel a call today. Hoss, what is that number again?
636-720-3836.
You are listening to the Kelly Mano Radio Show, radio podcast, whatever we're doing here. Have you guys noticed anything different about the show?
I feel like I'm back in my old radio days right now.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely more my element for sure.
You know, it's funny. This music is my element, too, and it's for one reason and one reason only. And that is my sweet brother, Chris Sumter, it's his birthday today.
Hooray!
And so I grew up listening to rap and only rap. And my brother is the complete opposite of me in the first place. Like, you could not find two polar opposite people. And he always listened to like rock and Weezer, and he loved 105.7 The Point. And I was like, I was like going to Warren G concerts and stuff. And so he's like, Kelly, just come with me one time. And he took me to see Weezer. And I was like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened, which led to me actually liking that music and then working for 105.7 The Point.
Yep.
Which is where I met Hoss.
That's right.
Yep. And so it all comes full circle. So,
and speaking of hip hop, are you excited about the news this week?
Yes. Wait, the Ice Cube news, the NWA? Yeah. We're going to talk about that in a minute because I haven't told my brother happy birthday yet. So we're gonna, I'm just going to call him real quick and tell him happy birthday. Is this my microphone?
Yes.
I'm not trying to be funny. I really forgot to call him, tell him.
Hello.
Hi, Chris.
Hello.
It's your sister.
Oh, I figured that out.
We're on the radio.
We're on the radio?
Yeah, I just want to call and say happy birthday because I almost forgot.
Oh, well, thank you.
I love you. Did you see what I posted on Facebook today?
Yes.
Did you see all your Facebook love? Do you remember a couple years ago when I posted the picture of you in your underwear?
Yeah, that came back up today.
Yes. Did you get anything exciting for your birthday?
One of my students gave me a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Aw, that's sweet. It's all about the little things. Hey, tell Alyssa that I'm free on Thursday night if she wants us to all get together for your birthday. Do you have the kids on Thursday?
On Thursday? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, Manos are free. Everybody say happy birthday to my brother.
Happy birthday. You have an awesome name.
Oh, thank you.
All right. I'll talk to you later, Chris.
All right.
Bye. I have like the best brother ever. And we're like really close in age. And
right.
So like,
is he older or younger?
He's younger, but I was like 8 weeks old when my mom got pregnant with him.
Oh, okay.
So we're really close in age. And we're really, really close, like buddies. Like we just went through a lot together, and he's my homie. So okay, so this next segment, there's gonna be some cuss words. So I'm just warning you guys now. And obviously this is a podcast. I can say whatever I want on this show. I could drop the F bomb like 20 times a segment, but you know, this show kind of mirrors my real life, so I think I talk on this show the way I talk in real life, and I don't use the F word very much in real life, so that kind of just goes with the territory. So my question is, to Hoss and to Gary, is at what age did you start cussing in front of your parents? Or did you ever?
Oh, I'm fluent at it now.
Really?
Yeah, because there's times where I feel like I'm almost the adult raising my parents now.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I would say probably somewhere in college.
In college. Gary, did you cuss in front of your parents?
Yeah.
Wait, in front of or at?
Oh,
in front of?
You cuss at your parents?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've ever cussed at my parents.
Only when they do something that really requires
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be really bad.
In front of my parents? I may have let a couple slip in high school.
Yeah. Gary?
Yeah, high school is about the, definitely about the time that,
yeah.
That started getting thrown around. I remember dropping a couple of F-bombs, especially like in front of my mom's like sorority group and stuff like that, just to embarrass the heck out of her.
So I grew up in a house where neither one of my parents really cussed very much at all, if at all. And so I, to this day, I don't cuss in front of my mom. And I'm in my 30s. And like if I'm with a friend and they like cuss in front of their parents, like I'll instantly look around like, aren't you going to get in trouble for that? You know, like still to this day. And for me now, obviously I wouldn't get in trouble for it, but it's kind of like a respect thing.
Sure.
You know, that. And so Jimmy and I kind of run our house the same way. Jimmy definitely cusses more than me, but we don't cuss in front of our kids hardly at all. I mean, like I'll let like a damn or a shit slip out or something. But I'm not just like a chronic potty mouth. And so I don't expect my kids to be. Now, before we even get into this, I just want to say, I know that there's other parents who do allow their kids to cuss, and there's nothing wrong with that. So please don't think I'm judging you. It's just particularly how I run my house. And so Rocky, my 11-year-old, who is in fifth grade, is a hockey player. And I think I should say that he goes to private school. I do think that that matters a little bit. So I think,
oh, for sure.
So, you know, maybe you could say like a little bit sheltered as far as the kids he hangs out with and things like that. But Rocky plays hockey. And hockey as a culture is a vulgar language sport.
Team sports in general.
Right. But I think hockey way more than anything else, because in hockey, cursing it at somebody is a way to draw a penalty. It's actually useful. You know, a lot of times you're cursing at somebody because you're trying to get them to punch you in the face, things like that. And so Rocky plays hockey. He's in fifth grade and he comes off the ice about a month ago and he's like, Mom, you got to let me start cussing on the ice. And I'm like, what do you mean you got to start cussing on the ice? Because a lot of his buddies cuss on the ice, which is fine. Again, not my kid. don't judge them, whatever is fine with me. He's like, and so I always worked with him and said, you know, let's come up with other things for you to say. Like, how about you call a kid a princess, or how about you call him this? Like, you know, which is totally lame. Your mom's like giving you comeback lines. And so I said, why do you want to start cussing? He said, because today I was taking a face off and I said, hey, princess. And the kid said, fuck you, asshole.
There you go.
He goes, I look so stupid. I'm like, he's like, you got to start letting me cuss. And so we kind of had this conversation about it. And my ruling at the time was, okay, you can say the A word. You know, if somebody is really, you know, pressing on you during the game and you feel like you, you know, because hockey is an emotional sport and I want him to be able to express himself. I'm like, if you need to use the A word, you can.
Sure.
And I sort of lost sleep over that, thinking like the A word was like the gateway word.
Well, you know, how I would approach it, because while I've never played
Gary
hockey,
I played at that.
No, I get it. I think that's the first word every kid says.
Yeah, probably.
It starts it with butt and then it transforms. Yeah. So, but now, I played basketball all the way through college and I played football through high school.
Right.
And trash talking or shit talking.
Yes.
No matter what the sport is, it's there.
Yes.
And I think if I was to talk to Rocky, I would say, look, I'm not condoning it in real life.
Right.
Hockey is not real life. What you do on the ice,
that's a good way to look at it,
is not who you are. It's kind of like in radio.
Right.
I am a foul-mouthed person.
Right.
I can weave vulgarities into a tapestry. But you put a microphone in my hand, and I know that they have to stop.
Exactly.
As long as you have that switch,
right,
that you know when you can and when you can't, that's fine.
Right.
And if you go to Rocky and you're like, I am not condoning you walking into an Arby's and going, give me a mother effing roast beef sandwich.
Right.
But if there's a guy jacking at you on the ice, give it back.
Exactly. And so, you know, over the weekend, we were in Nashville all weekend long for a hockey tournament, and the team that we played in the final was from Kentucky. And if there's anything worse than annoying screaming hockey moms, it's one with Southern accents. Because I mean, the whole, my husband can actually, Jimmy, do you want to come and impersonate Wyatt's mom? This is what we had to hear like the whole entire time. Hoss, give Jimmy your microphone.
You don't need to give me the microphone.
Okay.
Get up, Wyatt, get up. Referee, that must have been an optional icing, an optional offside.
You're terrible.
You don't know what you're doing. You're terrible. Because, Wyatt, get up, Wyatt.
You know, the people from Kentucky are like polite, but she still wants to yell at the referee, so she's telling how terrible he is. And so we're going to the final game, and I'm like, Rocky, I said, when you get on the ice, I just want you to refer to every kid as Billy Bob. Very nice, Hoss. You just have that at the ready all the time.
Pretty much.
Oh, and so we're going into the final game, and I'm like, Rocky, just call everybody Billy Bob. he's like, why? I'm like, just do it. And so he did.
Or Cooter.
Right. And then again, so he comes off the ice, and I said, how did it go? And you know, Rocky is like actively trying to get better at trash talking, and he's not very good at it yet. And he goes, he came off the ice. I said, I saw you like jaw jacking with that kid at the face off. And he took a face off with a really small kid. So he skates in and the other team was winning. And he skates in and he comes to a stop and he said, what up, Smalls?
That was good though.
Right? But then the kid goes, look at the scoreboard, dick.
Well, see, that's the problem. You got to be ready, because when you're losing, it's coming back.
And so Rocky's like, Mom, we got to work on this. Like,
no, I mean, there's nothing you can do. Yeah. When you're losing, you can talk, but you got to know that like they got the trump card.
Exactly. They've always got the trump card. And so
that's great.
I find myself torn between trying to raise a good young man and expecting him to behave on the ice, you know, in a way that reflects and represents our family, but also knowing that hockey is like this weird culture of its own, and that is part of it, and that it's coming one way or another. I don't know many like high school or college kids that don't cuss.
Oh yeah,
you know.
It's like Haas said, there's a line. You know, it's what you do off the ice.
Yep.
I mean, think about it. You've been around enough of the Blues players,
right,
off of the ice,
right.
You know, mm-hmm. you know David Backus is throwing around all sorts of F-bombs all over the ice. But when he's off the ice, he's probably one of the nicest dudes you're going to meet.
Well, it's just sports, and it's part of that culture. And I don't think him cussing on the ice is any anything against the type of person he is off the ice.
I don't want to be like a bad mom, you know? And I know this probably like surprises some people because I seem like a really like laid back, loose, loosey-goosey mom, and I totally am, but at the same time, like, I got my shit together. Like, my kids are really well-behaved kids, and, you know, I'm always trying to balance that boundary of kind of being their friend, but being their mom, and, yeah, I've got great kids. Just the fact that Rocky comes off the ice and asks me permission, you know, if he can cuss.
Yeah, I mean, that right there is enough to know that, like, you got a good kid.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't, he'd just be like, screw this, I'm doing it. Mom can't hear me from the stands anyway.
Yeah, me and my kids have such, like, really, really open relationships, like, almost too open, to where, you know, Rocky will come right off the ice and just tell me everything that happened and what's going on. And so, yeah, just, you know, it's funny because you think as your kids get older that everything's going to get easier. And, yeah, that's a big crock of crap.
So, full disclosure, when I was in high school, I got one technical foul.
And is that basketball talk?
Yes.
Okay.
And my mom and dad used to come to every game. And they could tell that it wasn't a technical foul for something I did because it was a dead ball foul. I mean, the ball was not in play.
Yeah.
So after the game, my mom and dad are like, what did you get a technical for? And I was like, oh, you know. And they just kept pressing. And I was like, I said something I probably shouldn't have to the ref because I wasn't happy. Mom goes, well, what did you say? And I was like, you don't want to know, Mom. And she got pressed, and I was like, I told the ref to eat a bag of dicks, Mom.
How old were you?
16.
Oh, my God. Yeah, see, I will not let Rocky disrespect the refs at all. Like, that's completely different.
Well, to be fair, the ref blew a call.
Oh, my God. Oh, I watched the other day. It was, like, something on YouTube. It was, like, top 10 NHL tantrums of all time. And
Ed Belfour's got to be up there.
Well, yeah, Ed Belfour and Marty Brodeur was on there. But there were so many of the coaches losing it on the refs.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the guys threw a garbage can at the ref.
That.
Yes,
I remember
like,
that.
Well, first he threw like 40 sticks out there, and then came like the guard. Like, he literally threw everything that he owned on the bench at the referee, and it was hysterical.
Oh, it's great. Bobby Knight throwing chairs across basketball courts.
Yes.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, Lou Piniella picking up bases and throwing.
Oh, yeah.
Them. Oh, yeah.
I thought when, and this was like a week ago, but when Hitchcock pulled Brian Elliott the other night,
and he lost his mind.
And because you don't see that a lot from Els, you know, he's a calm guy. And did you see the stare down he gave Hitch?
Well, and the thing was that was not really Elliott's fault.
No, none of it was.
The team was playing so bad.
They were. And you know what? But I don't blame Elliott for 1 second being mad at Hitch. I think Hitchcock plays mind games with Elliott.
To be fair, I think at that point the game was out of hand. And at some point, to save your goalie's confidence, you need to pull him.
Nope.
They were hanging him out to dry so bad.
Yeah, but I don't think that helped his confidence. I think that Elliott has done everything that Hitchcock has asked him to. You know, he's stepped back when he asked him to step back. He's stood up when he told him to stand up. And, he does a great job for the team. And I think that – I don't think he – yeah, I don't know. I thought it was disrespectful of Hitchcock.
I was at that game. It was.
You
pretty,
were?
Yeah.
I really wanted to, like, Elliott to, like, spear. What is that? The javelin throw?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted him to toss a stick at Hitchcock and hit him in that waddle under his chin.
Nice.
Oh, we will be right back. It is the Kelly Mano Show.
Show. The princess of the 90s is now the queen of the minivan carpool. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show is brought to you by JM Motors in Granite City, Illinois. Been with the show since day one. I absolutely love JM Motors. I'm sending my mom there this summer because she is in the market for a pre-owned car. The thing that I love about JM Motors is how big their lot is. The amount of the selection they have is just amazing. The personal relationships that you make with the owners who have been in business for 45 years is one that you're not going to see other places. If you want to swing by their lot, the address is 2310 Namioki Road in Granite City, Illinois, just 10 minutes from the arch, easy to get to. And if you mention the Kelly Mano Show, do you know what you get? anybody?
A free air freshener?
No. Better than that. Gary, you wrote this and you don't know? You get a free $50 gas card.
Even better.
And that'll take you a long ways because gas is like super cheap right now.
For real.
Right? Till the election, then they jack it back up.
You've got me doing so much, so I forget things.
Think about this. Star Wars is in the movie theaters, the Rams are in Los Angeles, and gas is under $1.50 a gallon. It's like being 10 years old all over again. Right.
JM Motors only has 2 salesmen, so they know their inventory, they know their lot, they know their company, they know their boss. If you have good credit, they can take care of you at a local credit union. And if you have not so good credit, they are a buy here, pay here lot. They can take care of you. Please, if you get a chance, check out JM Motors. You can find them on Facebook, or you can swing by at 2310 Namioki Road in Granite City, Illinois.
Think I took over the soundboard today.
What?
People are going to think I took over the soundboard today.
I know they are. So if you missed it earlier, I am playing all awesome 90s music from 105.7 The Point in honor of my brother Chris's birthday. This is probably the only time that you'll hear this music, but
That's boo.
Well, listen, I listen to this music a lot, but you know what I listen to the most? Country. Like, literally, on a day-to-day basis, I listen to country all the time.
Do you know what you get if you play a country song backwards?
What?
You get your woman back, you get your car back, you get your job back, you get your dog back.
And you get out of jail.
You get out of jail.
Oh, so yeah, a little urge coming at you. We need to have Steve Ewing on the show. Like, stat.
Steve's awesome.
I can't believe we haven't even thought of that yet. He donated to the Kroenke Fund.
He did.
And he's buddies with my husband.
He makes a damn fine hot dog.
Yeah, Steve's Hot Dogs. Does he have 2 locations now?
I believe so.
You know what? We'll just have him bring us some wieners.
There you go.
He needs to have a Kelly Mano Show wiener.
Is that Oh.
I'm telling you, is that a good idea? I love how I'm like assuming he's going to be on the show and we haven't even asked him yet.
I bet you he will.
I'm sure he will. He'll do it. Can you call him?
Like right now?
And what about Tony Twist? You're working on Tony too.
We can have him in together.
We don't have enough room in here. We have no room in here. A lot of St. Louis restaurants closing over the weekend.
A lot.
The heck, man?
I never thought I would see the day that Mike Shannon's closed.
I wouldn't either. And I guess a lot of them are saying that it's Ballpark Village.
Which is going to expand.
It is.
Yep.
Why not move Shannon's into Ballpark Village? That would have been the smart thing to do.
I mean, I was thinking if they're going to expand, why not?
Exactly.
He must have his reasons.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously Mike's, you know, not getting any younger, but you would think that he would, you know, somebody else is running that by now anyway.
Oh, sure. He's not doing day-to-day in that restaurant.
And Harry's, I mean, that's legendary too,
right?
I can't
believe that place is closing.
Now, is this a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, I guess it's good that Ballpark Village is expanding and doing so well, but, you know, it's kind of putting all of our eggs in one basket.
It is. I'm very mixed feelings on it. You know, the fact that J-Bucks closed, I'd been there a few times. I think that J-Bucks is closing because it was impossible to get in and out of.
Oh, the one down in Clayton?
No, the one
the
downtown.
Ritz? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It was in that funky corner location.
Yes.
Okay.
Mike Shannon's closing shocks me. Harry's closing shocks me.
You would think with the Cardinals that they would have, you know, done something to try to get Mike to move into that building.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, Mike Shannon owns the building that he's in right now.
Okay.
And so rather than pay an expensive lease to try to move into Ballpark Village, they're going to cut their losses and they're going to run their spot in Edwardsville or wherever Fairview Heights. But as far as the other spots, well, Mike Shannon's and Harry's, if you think about it, the Cardinals play 81 home games a year. If the Cardinals aren't in town, there is nothing drawing people downtown. People don't want to go downtown and hang out unless you're going to go in Ballpark Village, which is all inclusive.
Which is one of the only places that I feel safe in downtown St. Louis at night. I feel really safe there during the day. It's kind of like a Jekyll and Hyde, though. At night, I don't go downtown anymore unless I have to. Mm-hmm. And if I go, I'm going to Ballpark Village. And I know that we're not supposed to say stuff like that and say, oh, we got to support our city. I love our city. I want to see this crap turned around. But
do you like Ballpark Village?
I do. I really do
have
like it.
Have you ever been to Kansas City?
No.
The people who did Ballpark Village also did a very similar establishment in Kansas City. The way theirs is done makes Ballpark Village look awful.
What? But Ballpark Village is beautiful.
It's beautiful, but it's not nearly as functional as the one in Kansas City.
Really?
The one in Kansas City is the courtyard is wider.
Mm-hmm.
and there's a canopy over it, but it's not a roof per se.
Right.
And the whole thing is built around a central stage. And then everything kind of flares up from that, almost like an amphitheater.
Our stage is kind of to the side.
Ballpark Village looks like they got done building it and went, crap, we forgot the stage.
You're right.
And shoves it in a corner.
That stage is in a bad spot.
Which is why I think they built that outdoor stage now for National Acts. Because the indoor stage is not good for concerts.
No, and that's why, you know, I want to see St. Louis get better and thrive. And shutting down these restaurants that have been there for decades is not a good way to go.
I guess it's kind of the ebb and flow, you know, things always close and then new things come up.
Yeah.
And I was actually listening to Mike Shannon on the way down here to record, and he was talking about it, and he's like, look, he goes, it's not that we were losing money. He goes, it's just that time has passed.
Yeah.
And he said he wanted to focus on the Illinois location. He wanted to focus on his wines, and I guess he's got a barbecue sauce line.
He's got so much stuff.
Well, because you know he cut back on broadcasting for this upcoming
year. I just saw that, and that really...
he's only doing the home games.
That stinks. But, I mean, I know it's gotta happen. I was actually just talking to one of the teachers at Rocky's school about a lot of the Cardinal events and stuff that I work, and I always tell her, she's like, is it fun being around all the athletes all the time? I'm like, yeah, but you know, I find myself drawn more to some of the older ones. And
And
I brought up Mike Shannon's name. I'm like, you know, last golf tournament, I was like, hey, Mike, I'm like, can I ride on your golf cart today? Because I just love hanging out with those guys. And so to know that we're going to be getting less and less Mike Shannon in the future is... it's not fun.
Do you know what I think the biggest difference is between the old and the new? Is that the athletes of Mike Shannon's era were truly, and not to say that not all are, but those athletes were truly vested in the community.
Of course.
Whereas your majority of athlete today, pro athlete, it's where do I need to go to make the most money?
Exactly.
And you saw that with Albert Pujols. You saw that time and time again, regardless of sport. There's not to say that there aren't the people like David Backus who is entrenched in the community in St. Louis.
I mean, that's all I do. When I do my photography work for the Cardinals, I'll tell you off the air, I can list the Cardinals that I have never seen at a single charity function. And I've shot a lot of them.
Yep.
And so it's hard for me, you know, Matt Holliday is one who is just so invested in the community. Trevor Rosenthal's been great lately.
Look at Red Shandiest. That man is 80-something years old. My grandfather was his doctor.
I love him.
And he's still in the community, at games, doing things. And I think that is the difference between the elder statesman athletes and today's pro athlete.
Yeah. And so let's go ahead and talk about, you know, kind of the elephant in the room when it comes to this kind of stuff. You know, you don't see Yachty at anywhere in the community.
No, you don't.
He makes one appearance a year, and it's at the winter warm-up. Now, I do think that he does some things in the Dominican.
I was just going to say, do you think that the language barrier has something to do with that?
He's been here so long, though.
He has been, but he's also the only pro athlete who I think their English has gotten worse the longer he's been here.
But, you know, so Yachty is not known for his personality. He's not known for his relationship with the fans. But does he kind of get a hall pass on that because he's just so damn good and what he's done for our community?
I think he does. I think he does, but... You mentioned the Dominican. You know, he and his brothers, they have a baseball academy in the Dominican Republic. Sure.
Right, but look at how much St. Louis has given him.
No, I agree.
You would think that he would at least make an effort, you know, and come to a couple of things. Like I said, he does come to the winter warm-up, but that's it. But then again, I mean, that's kind of his prerogative. He's worked his whole life to be where he is. And, you know, it's not like he's being a jerk.
And I think that's the key. As long as you're not pulling a Barry Bonds and you're not actively being rude to fans.
Right.
You're not being disruptive outside of the ballpark. You're not getting into legal trouble. You're not doing things like that.
Right.
I think you get a pass on the, you just want to be a private person.
Right. And not every athlete has to have a charity, you know.
Oh, I agree.
But, you know, it's hard to see us trade somebody like John Jay that I know was so involved.
Sure.
You know, and then.
Well, and you want your face of the team to be involved. And Yachty is the face of the team.
He is, which is why I wish we saw him a little bit more. But
sure. You're absolutely right.
He does his job behind the plate, and we can't.
That's what he's paid for.
You know, but there are athletes out there that just don't give two rips about community, like Jason Hayward. You know, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out, dude, because, you know,
Jason Hayward
is a dick.
Well, he spent he spent a year.
9 months here?
9 months. That's a little different.
And we gave him a great team. We took him to the postseason. And I have no problem with people saying, hey.
Here's my antithesis to that argument. I will raise your, he only spent 9 months here, and tell you a hockey player who played 32 games here and has a yearly summer camp.
Gretzky.
Wayne Gretzky.
Yep.
The greatest hockey player of all time.
But I'll go back at you. Where's his wife from?
Sure. But
St. Louis.
But, you know, that's, I mean, how many pro athletes do we know that have wives from St. Louis? Albert Pujols' wife's from St. Louis. He had a restaurant here. He doesn't anymore.
Right. But he still lives here. At least as of a year ago, he did. But I mean, the whole Hayward thing, if you want to go, bye, see ya. But don't criticize a team that gave you so much and a manager. I thought that his comments about our core being old was a low blow. So I hope he sucks for the Cubs.
I hope he breaks his leg.
That's way meaner than what I would have said.
Well, I mean,
how about a toe? How about he breaks a toe?
Either way, it's pro baseball. People miss 40 games for a sprained eyelash.
Yeah. A very heavily strained hamstring that doesn't go away.
Yes, ever. Exactly. Oh, speaking of large black men, NWA.
So excited. So excited.
So Hoss has been like losing his mind because Axl Rose and Guns N' Roses is going to be reuniting at Coachella. And then why don't you kind of explain to everybody what the rumors have been about, you know, because Ice Cube is going to be opening.
Ice Cube is on the bill for Saturday night directly below Guns N' Roses as far as headliners go.
So they're like right before them.
Absolutely. And I guess he did an interview with Rolling Stone last week and they were talking about the set at Coachella and Ice Cube came out and said, you know, it's been a very interesting year for me. The guys in NWA, you know, I know that Dre played Coachella a couple years ago with Snoop and they did the Tupac hologram. He goes, I think in a year of Coachella where you have bands like LCD Sound System reuniting, the night that we're playing Guns N' Roses is reuniting, it only seems appropriate that we give these kids a hip-hop lesson and bring back NWA, West Coast Connection, and everything. Which means
that would
like,
be insane.
I don't know if we're talking Eazy-E hologram. Or if it's just him and Dre, because you know Yella and Rene got nothing going on. So, no. Dude, are you kidding me? Now not only do I get to see Guns N' Roses, I'm going to get to see NWA the same night?
But I'm telling you right now, if that happens, because think about this. Cube is supposed to go on before Guns N' Roses,
for sure.
Right?
Okay. Oh, Axl Rose is going to cry.
He won't cry. He will absolutely blow a head gasket. You will not have a Guns N' Roses reunion.
I
that
disagree.
Stealing his thunder?
Exactly.
I disagree, and I disagree for two reasons. Number one, Axl's a huge NWA fan.
Is
massive. He was. He. If you look at the video footage of them in concert back during the Use Your Illusion tour in '91, more times than not, he's worn an NWA hat on stage.
Oh, okay.
Number two, there is a phenomenal article, and if I can find it, I will send it to you so we can post it. That I think the LA Times posted about 10 years ago when both Straight Outta Compton and Appetite for Destruction had their 20th anniversary.
Right.
And it basically said that those two albums are the exact same album from the exact same period of time in the same city from an urban versus rock point of view.
Yeah.
That they are the exact same record. They are both very anti-establishment.
They had the same impact.
They're both very do what you got to do to survive. And they both had the exact same impact on their audience.
Is Coachella April 16th?
That's the first week. And they do 2 weekends to Coachella.
So then the next weekend, which one is NWA?
Both. It's the same lineup both weekends.
So they're going to play twice.
Yep.
Which one are you going to?
First weekend, the 16th.
Okay. Yeah, I wonder if Jimmy and I could not sneak away. I don't know.
I'm telling you, if you can get there, you can share the hotel room.
I know, but I hate traveling. I'm such an old lady. Is Tori going with you?
Not for the amount of money it was. I'm going solo.
Oh. Now, is that cool for you to go by yourself
totally.
To a concert?
For that, yeah, I don't care. I honestly, up until yesterday when this news broke, the only thing I cared about was getting there in time to see Guns N' Roses.
Right.
Now I'll get there in time to see NWA and Guns N' Roses.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I'm excited for you. So before we wrap things up, I want to talk about the next show, which is who knows when. It's coming soon. We are going to talk about, what is it called?
Making a Murderer.
Making a Murderer. So there is this show on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I keep seeing it online, or it's in the news everywhere.
Yeah, it is.
So essentially, we're going to talk about it next week, and I wanted to let the listeners know so that they could kind of catch up on it this week. Now, Haas is an overachiever, and you finished the whole thing, right?
Yeah, I watched it over the three-day weekend, and it's really, really good. It is slanted, but it's not overly slanted. I will, without spoiling anything, I will say, for those of you who have seen it and enjoyed it, it is, to me, extraordinarily similar to three documentaries that HBO did back in the late 90s, early 2000s about a group of three kids called the West Memphis Three.
I've heard of that. I don't think I've seen it, but I've heard of it.
There were three kids from West Memphis, Arkansas, which legitimately on the border of Arkansas and Memphis, Tennessee. And there were three little children who were murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very similar situation where it's small town USA.
Right.
You know, Gomer Pyle is the sheriff. And, right. You know, there's like seven people in the police station. And they railroad these three kids through murder trials.
Yeah.
And convict them all.
Yeah.
And they spent, I believe, 19 years in prison. The oldest one was sentenced to death. And they basically convicted them because they wore Metallica and T-shirts and listened to heavy metal.
Sure.
So they tried to make it, well, these kids are Satanists, and it was a Satanist ritual killing. There was no evidence that linked them there. It was all circumstantial stuff. And they finally get out, but they got out because there was so much evidence that the state of Arkansas knew, if we let this go to a retrial, we're going to lose.
Right.
So they let the kids out on what's called an Alford plea, which means they had to confess to the fact that the state had enough evidence to convict them, even though they maintain their innocence. Basically, what it does is let the state of Arkansas cover their ass so that they can't sue them. And they made all three do it because one of the kids didn't want to take the plea. And they had to go to him and go, here's what you don't understand. It has to be all three of you. And if you don't agree to this, they're going to execute your friend.
I think that our judicial system is the root of all of our troubles. I mean, as a country, we're going to get into this next week.
Yep.
But our judicial system has failed us so many times, and it is so messed up. But I guess kind of like a 30-second synopsis of Making a Murderer is, you know, this guy named Stephen Avery, middle to lower class, redneck. Was that what you... Would you call him charming?
I don't mean this in a derogatory way. It's poor white trash.
Exactly. Poor white trash with a little bit of a charm to him. Because he went to jail for, what?
18 years
for a crime he did not commit.
For a rape he didn't commit.
For a rape he did not commit. And he was let out.
Yep.
And he started building a case against the police department that put him away wrongfully.
Mm-hmm.
And right before it was supposed to go to trial, he gets sent to prison again.
For a murder.
And it's basically, you know, did he do this or was the state, you know, making this up? The state police, was this a setup? And it's really an amazing documentary.
It really is. It's,
yeah.
It's, you know, it's 10 episodes. They average about an hour a piece.
Yeah. I think I'm at episode 6.
Okay.
So I'm getting there. And we're going to talk about it next week. I really want the listeners to check it out. And
when you get done with this, you have to watch the Paradise Lost documentary
with
the West Memphis Three, because I'm telling you, there are so many similarities with what happened to Stephen Avery and his nephew.
Right.
And what happened to these three kids. Like, it's spooky similar.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go back and watch it again, because I watched it a lot when I'm, like, editing photos.
Right.
So I haven't been concentrating that much on it. But I'm going to go back and really kind of dig into it.
So, spoiler for the next show, if you're in the middle of watching it or want to watch it, you probably might want to skip the next show, because there's probably going to be spoilers.
Exactly. Right. As we wrap things up, I sent out, like, last week on the show, I told people, hey, if you have any ideas for a sign off for the show, email me. And I got a couple of ideas.
Okay.
One came from my Aunt Judy, who I think is our oldest and honoriest listener we have.
Nice.
I have tattoos on my wrist. One says be good dad. One says have fun mom. They were it's my parents' handwriting, but she thought of, you know, saying something like be good, have fun. And then somebody else talked about our little sassy, classy, and a bit smart assy. So I wonder if we can kind of combine all those somehow. You know, be good, have fun. Stay smartassy.
I like Be Good, Have Fun.
I like Be Good, Have Fun, but I want to add something else to it. So,
all
right. I'm not ready to solidify it today. I'm just saying, you know, we're thinking about it. So if you have any other ideas, let us know. And we're also debuting something really fun next week with my Uncle Mike, who, Hoss, yes, I know you love.
He's so great.
All I will say is that I've been over at my Uncle Mike's house recording audio, and I currently have Dave Morris like recording a intro for it. And yeah, you're going to be, if you like my Uncle Mike, the one who went to go pay his insurance bill at State Farm and ran into the building.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's going to be a much bigger part of the show here coming up. So that is it for this week. We're going to be back in just a couple of days. If you like the show, share the show. Don't forget, you can only listen on iTunes or go to kellymano.com. You guys have anything else to add?
I'm good.
You're good?
I'm good.
All right. Do your homework. Go watch Making of a Murderer. We're going to talk about it next week.
Email us your thoughts.
Email us your thoughts. Email us some sign-off ideas. If you need to email me, it's heykelly@kellymano.com. Thank you for listening. If you like the show, share the show. Spice Girls are going to sing us out. Yes.